Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Hello, Giants fans, and welcome to a new edition of the Valentine's Views podcast here on Big Blue View Radio, part of your SB Nation family of podcasts. Please like, share, and subscribe if you're watching us on YouTube, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts across the Big Blue View Radio network. Today, I thought we would sort of change the Giants discussion a little bit away from quarterback, away from wide receiver, talk a little bit about defensive needs. And here to help me do that is Damian Parson, host of the Locked On NFL Draft Show and also a contributor to the Draft Network. Damian, thank you so much for a few minutes today.
For sure, Ed. You know, happy to be here, man.
So New York Giants, everything's wide receiver, everything's quarterback. Before we get into all of that, just really, really quickly, are you in on the JJ McCarthy hype or are you out?
I'm in on JJ McCarthy of the thought process of his ceiling, right? Arm talent, mobility, working in a pro style offense. You see, when I talked about it in my report over at the Draft Network, I tweeted it out when I studied him. When there were games where they allowed him to have true drop back sets, when they gave him those moments and those reps, you saw him build that confidence, that chemistry, the stability and everything in the pocket, the ability to throw and target all areas of the field, but also be able to move and navigate the pocket as well. It's just a fact of, man, Michigan was always with a lead. They were a run first team, smash mouth type of football. They were built for that. Whereas like, it makes his projection a little murky, where I could see why some people are really high on him, right? I gave him a high second round grade, but I knew, you know, even back at Mobile, I knew he was going to go top 15. You know, that was the talk even, you know, even at the Senior Bowl, talking to league, you know, scouts and league officials of how they viewed him. So I'm in on it. I'm just not of the mindset. Some people, I've seen tweets of people having him over Caleb Williams, people having him over Drake May, and I'm like, yeah. That's a little bit too rich for me, but mm-hmm. I do like the skill set and the potential of this young man.
All right. So as I said at the top, you know, I wanted to put that out there, but I want to focus on the Giants and the defensive side of the ball. We've spent very little time talking about that and actually writing about that, but there are defensive needs on this football team, and we're probably talking about filling those on day two and day three of the draft. So we're not going to focus on the round one guys per se. We'll focus on the guys who could come in day two, day three. I want to start at cornerback. That's a position where Giants drafted Tay Banks a year ago, and I think Tay Banks is going to be a terrific player. You know, he may, I still wonder, you know, how much ball production he's going to have, but I think he's a terrific player. But Adoree Jackson is leaving in free agency. Aaron Robinson's been a guy who hasn't been able to stay on the field. Cordell Flott looks like a decent slot corner, but I'm not sure what they have, you know, at the corner opposite Banks. They might fill that in free agency, but give me some guys you think day two, day three. I mean, I have a couple that I like who might be in range for the Giants. The Melton kid from Rutgers, Ennis Rakestraw, TJ Tampa, if he falls far enough, you know, and Cam Hart, Notre Dame kid's another one I like, you know, maybe early day three. You know, give me your thoughts on some of those guys and maybe, you know, other guys that, that you think, you know, could be quality NFL corners.
You know, when you talk about Cam Hart, I met him down, spent some time with him at the Senior Bowl. Such a awesome person and young man, highly intelligent, which of course you can't, you know, that's kind of the staple for Notre Dame. Really, you know, high football IQ, high intelligence, taught like the to see him in person, you appreciate the height, the arm length, the body type. He's more of a cover three type of corner than a true man to man. But I think even then, it gives you that coverage flexibility across from Banks, where you talk about having, I always talk about receiving cores. You want to build your receiving room like a basketball team, right? You got your center, your power forward, small forward, shooting guard, and point guard. You look at what Philly has, right? You have AJ Brown, you have Devonta Smith, right? You, it's a situation where if you have a Cam Hart, a TJ Tampa, those guys, you feel a lot more comfortable throwing them on the AJ Brown because of their strength, their arm length, wingspan, athleticism. Then you put Deonte Banks on a Devonta Smith. And now what you do is you can put, you know, you can have two guys kind of man-to-man, one-on-one, where you're good on kind of somewhat of an island and force Jalen Hurts to make the throws he's never truly been comfortable with, and that's throwing between the numbers in the middle of the field. So I think with Cam Hart, he brings that. TJ Tampa also brings that. Tampa, it was crazy because I had a coach reach out to me a year ago this time. He was like, hey, remember the name TJ Tampa. You're going to be talking about him next draft cycle. And he was not lying. TJ Tampa, I think some of the best cornerback tape is him versus Adonai Mitchell when Iowa State played Texas this past season. Adonai Mitchell, outstanding route runner, very tempoed, patience with his process. TJ Tampa was in his hip pocket all game, talking about being patient, staying square, good footwork. But again, he's a guy that has to work on his tackle mechanics. He's a striker. He's not a wrap-up tackler. So he'll kind of, you know, come down, try to chop the tree down at the trunks of sorts. But he just, you want to, you know, kind of teach him, hey, square up your target, recoil through the hips, get your arms wrapped around the guy. We're not telling you to Ray Lewis him or Troy Polamalu this situation, but at least hold up at the point of attack and in the collision window where, hey, long as he's not getting yards after the catch or yards after the contact, that's fine. Another guy that I think day 2, day 3, because I gave him a second round grade. He didn't test the greatest, but I think, you know, he could definitely end up being second, third round. Kamari Lassiter out of Georgia, very skilled in terms of he plays man, he plays zone. This is a guy that is tough. He's physical. He's gritty. He's also a striker. He does not mind. You turn on the tape against South Carolina. There was a throw. It was a rep. They tried to smoke screen him to the big 6'1", 225 receiver, Xavier Leggett. And he just, you know, triggered downhill, quick identification, high football IQ, but went down there and made a play for a cornerback that isn't 6'2", 210, right? So I think this his speed is where you're going to have some concerns, but I also like him in kind of quarters coverage, off man, things of that nature. He can kick down into the nickel if you need him to. One of my favorite corners in this class, and it's funny you mentioned Adoree Jackson because it's kind of the same arc in terms of like college career. Mike Sanristil over at Michigan. A young man that began his career at Michigan at wide receiver and played both sides of the ball, similar to how Adoree did at USC. And he, you know, when he flipped over to corner heading into, I think it was the 2022 season, this young man has developed so well at the cornerback position. He can play some outside. He's a really good nickel corner, tough, physical, gritty, outstanding footwork. But he's one of those guys where you want to be careful targeting him because he's so good at taking the ball away because he is a former wide receiver. So the hands are natural for him. And he has that return ability to where, you know, you turn interceptions or turnover, you create turnovers and you flip them into points. He's a threat to take it back for 6 as well. And I think he would be a outstanding fit into that defense as well. Ennis Rigstraw, that's a guy I wonder how, if he falls out of the first round. I think this he could because of all the quarterbacks being pushed up, you know, so many receivers, offensive tackles and stuff like that. Still got to get the edge guys in. But you talk about one of the better man-to-man corners in this class, quiet feet, and you know, at the line of scrimmage, can mirror match guys, use pier steps and proper technique, knows when to shoot his hands and not lock his hip and press man. But he's so sticky in coverage to be able to be in the hip pocket. He has enough speed to run vertically and not lose foot races against those athletic SEC wide receivers. I think those guys, I think, like, and it just depends on how much of one specific coverage they want to play. If they want to play, because, you know, Deontay Banks was a press man guy coming out of Maryland. If they want to stick strictly with being heavy press man, being, you know, timing and disruptive at the line of scrimmage and take and force the quarterbacks to hold the ball, take away the quick game, things of that nature, I think Ennis Rickstraw may be the best fit for them if that's what they want to do. But if they're okay playing kind of combo stuff, some cover sixes, some quarters, man to man, cover three, and just allowing guys to move around in terms of coverage, Cam Hart, TJ Tampa will be kind of my top two picks for that defense.
Yeah, I think with Shane Bowen replacing Wink Martindale, that defense is going to be a little different, probably not as man heavy, not as blitz heavy, maybe a little more variety in the back end. Before we move off corner, simply because he's a Rutgers guy, because he draws a lot of attention in the Giants coverage area, I got to ask you about Max Melton.
I love Max. I love his game. Inside, outside versatility. He could play press man as well. Also drop off in zone. He's another tough. Those Big Ten corners, man, those guys just get after it. Those are the type of guys you want on your team because you know that they're going to give you everything they have. And, you know, instincts are there. Well, he's so, like, the confidence level that I saw on tape, there's reps against Marvin Harrison Jr. with no safety help. He's not afraid to be on the island. And I think when you – I always say this, like, you want to draft guys that fit not just the team, the area that they're going to be in, the media market. I think Max, being in New York has one of the more colorful media markets. You know what I mean? If you're a player, like, hey, when you're doing well, we love you, but we're going to hold you accountable. And I always love that about the New York media market. Everyone can't deal with that. I think Max and his level of confidence, understanding – hey, yeah, I lost that rep, but he's got short-term memory where he comes back and he battles the very next rep, and you love that type of game from a cornerback.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity, but giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
All right, let's switch over to the defensive line here quickly. Mm-hmm. Giants have Dexter Lawrence, who's probably, with the retirement of Aaron Donald, I mean, to me, Dexter's one of the best three or four in the game right now. But they traded Leonard Williams to Seattle. They also lost A'shaun Robinson in free agency. They've got a couple of young guys, DJ Davidson, Jordan Riley, who might have some upside. They've got Raheem Nunez, Roches, but they could use help. Couple guys that you think, you know, and my guess is more that they probably wouldn't draft a guy like Tavondre Sweat, the big, you know, big nose tackle kind of guy from Texas. And, you know, you might think differently. I'm thinking more about guys who might be able to play five tech, might be able to have, you know, some flexibility to be a defensive tackle in a four man front. The Braden Fisks of the world. So I'm just curious, you know, Fisk is one. You know, who else do you think might be able to help that Giants, you know, front line?
You know, you stole one of my names. That was Braden Fisk. I was going to mention him for sure. Braden Fisk out of Florida State, you know, twitchy, athletic, explosive. And I remember being at the combine and watching him on the on-field drills, and remember, you know, just kind of tweeting out like, man, he moves like a linebacker. Like, you know, like he's so fluid and agile and the hips, and, you know, seeing him at the Senior Bowl as well, like the active hands and everything of that nature where, you know, on rundowns, you can play him at that five tech. You can reduce him down to some three, so you get some two eye alongside big decks on passing downs. But another guy that comes to mind is Clemson's interior defensive lineman, Rook Ororo, 6'4", 295, 34-inch arms. This is at the point of attack, violent, heavy-handed, full extension on the arms in the run game. But also he showcases that power to literally drive interior offensive linemen into the backfield, right into the pocket and into the face of the quarterback. And I think this is a guy, again, similar to Braden Fisk, and he's used to it. He's played for Clemson. Rook played 0, 1, 2-eye, 3, 5 tech. He did everything, handled double teams, you know, being able to corkscrew and hold up at the point of attack and play strong right there inside gaps. So I think putting him, I think ideally you want him as a single gap contributor, especially on third downs. I think there's a lot of upside for him as a pass rusher on third downs and everything like that. And another guy that comes to mind that I think will fit this mold is Chris Jenkins, the son of, I think he was with the, was he with the Panthers? The old big nose tackle. You know, he plays at Michigan, 6'3", 305 pounds. And this is a young man that has bulked up. He's trimmed down multiple times. He can carry weight very well. He's so strong. And there's legitimate upside as a pass rusher. He just didn't have a lot of opportunities at Michigan, because Michigan always had, you know, Michigan had leads, and then they kind of rotated a lot of guys on their front seven. But power, collapsing the pocket, holding up at the point of attack. But again, the upside of him for him as a pass rusher is absolutely there. And I think when you have Dexter Lawrence on the interior defensive line with Kayvon Thibodeau, now you got Brian Burns on the edge, well, somebody's going to get one-on-ones. And I think that guy beside Dexter Lawrence is going to see plenty of one-on-one opportunities. And I think those type of guys, the best right now, I think the best pass rusher out of those three right now would be Braden Fisk. I think the highest ceiling would probably be with the Chris Jenkins or Rook because of their arm length, their power, and their strength.
If the Giants happen to draft the Clemson kid, I'm going to have to practice that name over and over and over. I know our guy, our draft guy, Chris Flum, really likes him as well. But that's a name that's going to require some work.
Trust me, I practice it quite a bit this college football season to get ready for the draft.
There you go. Let's talk about the safety position. Giants obviously decided not to pay big money for Xavier McKinney. Not really a huge surprise, considering that Joe Shane is a real believer in positional value. He's a believer in structuring his money that way. Maybe if the Giants were a Super Bowl contender right now, he would have bent a little bit, but as he builds this, he wasn't going to spend big money on a safety, even a 24-year-old one is as good as McKinney. I mean, they signed Jalen Mills, you know, to add some depth there, but that's not enough. And I don't know that there's a starting caliber safety, you know, out there in the middle of the draft, but you know, give me a couple guys you think could help there in the long run.
starting out with Texas Tech's Dadrion Taylor-Demerson, I believe he went down to the Shrine Bowl. This young man, versatile, can play free safety, can play strong, can play nickel, high instincts and IQ, can read and diagnose coverages and route concepts very well to understand, you know, if he's in zone, to understand what routes are threatening his area and being able to take the ball away. He can work as a low hole and then retreat type of player where he kind of works down from high into a robber and kind of, you know, as a rat running down into the middle area of the field, but then also having the instincts that there's like a deep, there was a rep, I can't remember which game it was, where they tried to run a backside bender deep over behind him as he's like the low hole safety. He identified it, flipped his hips, turned around, and got right underneath it and created, I think he broke the pass up. And it was like, but when you see it initially, you're like, oh, this is an open read for the quarterback. But it really was not, because just how talented this young man is. Another guy that comes to mind that I really like is Jaden Hicks out of Washington State. Tested well at his pro day. I believe he's running 6'2", 200-plus pounds, I think 215. He may be the most violent. It's between him and Wake Forest's safety, Malik Mustafa, in terms of most violent hitters in the safety room, in this safety group. Guys that will absolutely punish you and bring that physicality that we have missed in the defensive secondary for some time, in my opinion, where guys just literally come downhill and they want to hit. They want to thump the running back. They want to hit the tight ends and those receivers and bring back the, dare I say, bring back the fear of running across the middle of the field. Like, let's bring that back to football legally, of course. You know,
I was going to say they're allowed to do that.
Right. Like, you gotta find a way to do it legally to the rules that they put in, right? Can't hit too high, can't hit too low. You know, you gotta find that way.
There's what, maybe like a 6-inch target zone on a moving wide receiver.
You gotta be precise, man. And I think both of those guys, especially Jaden Hicks, he's more of a strong safety, but he has athleticism that you look for in a free safety as well. Guy, I think putting them in like zone coverages, cover three, letting them be that kind of low hole safety, working back in the anywhere from that 5 to 12 yard window, can take, you know, really take away and eliminate passing lanes, but being a plus one in the run game. And when you have to deal with, you know, that Washington's going to run the ball with Brian Robinson Jr. once they get a rookie quarterback in there with the second pick in the draft. You know that Dallas wants to get back to running the ball and Philly's going to run the ball, whether it's with Jalen Hurts or with the running back. Having physical guys at the safety position is going to help nullify some of that. And I think Jaden Hicks may be one of the best, if not the best, in this draft at that.
Hey, Damian, I know your time is limited. I want to hit the edge position quickly before you go. Giants obviously have Kayvon Thibodeau, made the big move for Brian Burns. Mm-hmm. Still have Azeez Ojulari, although we've barely seen Azeez the last 2 years, pretty much with injuries. But if they want to add some depth there, just give me a couple mid round guys. I'm going to throw one at you that I happen to like just because of the connection to OCU Mignora is Javon Solomon out of Troy. But just give me a couple mid to late round guys that might fit.
Man, Javon Solomon was the guy that I was going to mention. You know, that dense, thick body type, you know, guy that can power his way around the edge and around the corner, strong handed. So, you know, seeing him up close, like, this is an impressive build, an impressive young man, but he also put in a lot of work to consistently get better. A guy that I like a lot, you know, going back to Clemson's defensive line, Xavier Thomas, man, he reminded me so much of the Rams 2023 rookie Byron Young. I'm sorry, you know, kind of an older prospect, but that first step explosiveness, bend around the edge, speed to power conversion. Xavier Thomas brings that as well. And you're talking about me in a late day two into day three type of pick at 6'2", 255. This young man gets after it. Like I said, that first step, quickness and explosiveness, he has multiple hand counters in his bag. And I think just bringing him as a DPR, when you have a Brian Burns and you have a Kayvon, and with Kayvon's ability to kind of line up on tackles and ahead of a guards as a stand-up rusher. Talking about kind of bring it back. I don't want to dare I say those championship NASCAR packages, but bring some semblance of that back where you have a lot of speed on the defensive line. Let big Dexter Lawrence be that zero tech, still commanding that double team. Now you got Burns outside, Thomas coming off the bench in fourth quarter games where offensive tackles' legs are tired, man. It's the fourth quarter. We've been playing 60 snaps, and this guy just trots onto the field. He's only played 20. His legs are fresh, and now you have him flanking either Brian Burns or Kayvon Thibodeau, and that gives offensive lines a lot of problems and a lot of headaches.
All right. Like I said, I know that you have to run. I know that that you've got something going on here pretty soon, so we'll let you go. Just let folks know quickly if they don't where they can find you on social media, where they can follow your work.
Absolutely. On Twitter or X, as it's now called, DP_NFL. Check out all my work in scouting reports over at the Draft Network, the YouTube channel for the Draft Network, and of course on YouTube or on audio, your favorite audio platforms, the Locked On NFL Draft podcast. We record 5 days a week. Just dropped an episode today interviewing Virginia wide receiver Malik Washington. So if you want to know about that young man, definitely go. It was a great interview. Outstanding young player in person. So go check that out.
All right. Thank you very, very much for a few minutes. Giants fans, thank you as always for listening. Please stay safe out there. Take care of each other, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.